we looked at service provision and why you need vision and why you need values and what are our priorities going forward. And obviously one of the clear issues is if we want to provide services for people at the level that people expect, then you need to pay for it. And if you're going to pay for that, you will, we've a very low tax take as a percentage of GDP, one of the lowest in the EU, so we would have to raise that. But if you look at the tax gap between Ireland now collects about 31.9% of GDP. To move to 34.9% of GDP in taxation, you're still considered a low tax country. That would get us between 5 and 7 billion euro a year between now and 2020, or on average 6.7 billion euro, which is a huge amount of money you would have to invest. The problem is at the moment we rely much too heavily on income tax, on PRSI, on VAT in Ireland. They are the three biggest areas of return to the exchequer. So we need to look beyond that. We need to look, for example, at a minimum effective corporate tax rate of at least, I would say, at least 6%. The headline rate can stay where it is, but you need to look at a minimum effective rate so companies are paying at least 6%. When you look at the huge profits they bill here and then you look at their very small corporate tax returns, then it really makes you question it, because anyone in the income tax system, or whether you're working or not working, you can't avoid VAT. You know, you can't avoid your carbon tax when you take a bus. You can't really avoid your income tax. So everyone else is contributing, yet you have some very large, you know, organisations which aren't necessarily contributing a fair share.
I suppose people would say that by employing people, they will be paying PRSI and tax for those people, or that those people will be paying tax and they will be paying PRSI for them. So they contribute from that point of view.
Well, yes, and they do employ large numbers of people. But if you look at our PRSI, every year it is the state and the taxpayers, I mean everybody, not just income taxpayers, but everybody, who plugs the hole in the employer's PRSI contributions, because that is why we're so far below the European average. There is a shortfall every year in terms of employers' PRSI contribution, and the Department of Social Protection makes that up through money which is garnered from the exchequer, which is paid for by the taxpayer. So the easiest way to increase our tax take would be to just increase employers' PRSI, but as you know yourself, that would be a very difficult sell. And, you know, that's why the employers were so strong in looking for tax cuts, because they didn't want any focus on how little they contribute to the PRSI pot. But if, you know, you need to look beyond that also, you need to look at things like environmental taxation, measuring our natural resources, accounting for them in our national accounts, and then look at who's using them, who's getting the benefit from them, what companies are getting a huge benefit from them. And then obviously, you know, they should be making a contribution for this, because we're supposed to pass these resources on to future generations. We shouldn't be depleting them. That's an area of taxation that we don't do a lot of environmental taxation in this country. And in terms of corporations, we really don't. We don't really enforce the polluter pays principle. So that, you know, looking at our rivers, for example. So those are some very simple areas that you could just look at, and you could rate, we'd still be a low tax country, but at least we'd be able to fund our public services for people. Just a simple example. If you look at the budget in terms of the tax cuts, you know, the reduction in the tax rate, and even taking into account the higher rate of universal social charge, 130 million euro was returned to high earners. But disability services have been cut by 10% since the beginning of the recession, and they didn't receive an extra cent. And if you look at the extra cost of living that people with disabilities have, you know, how can you give tax cuts as a priority when you're not investing in services for the most vulnerable people in our society who have extremely high costs? So, you know, the argument is there that we do need to broaden our tax base in order to be able to fund services for those who really need them.
The counter argument, I suppose, people will put is that these corporations will leave, or, you know, high net worth individuals, if you like, will leave.
Well, where there's no evidence really to show that. A lot of those organisations are here because we're an English speaking country and we're in the EU, so we're in the Eurozone. And that's why they're here and they're not in London. That's the reality. Secondly, as some studies have been done in terms of high net worth individuals, mainly focusing on the United States, obviously because every state within the United States has its own tax system. And the studies have shown that high net worth individuals, they don't leave, because in reality, if you set down family roots somewhere and you have your community and your friends and the community you're involved in, I mean, money is not going to be your sole decision in terms of leaving all of that behind. So I think we really need to get beyond that. And the second point is, we're told a lot that we need to attract high net worth individuals into Ireland to do certain jobs, but surely we produce those people ourselves, given our education system. So surely we should be able to employ our own people to do those jobs, because attracting high net worth individuals in Ireland to work doesn't necessarily create other jobs. That's the point. You know, they're not necessarily going, if they're already working for a company, are they going to employ someone else? You know, that's a debatable question. And the studies have shown, you know, they're not that elastic in terms of moving as a result of taxation. And I do think the argument about companies moving, well, in reality, the biggest employers here are small and medium enterprises. They're not multinationals. And the multinationals are here because we're an English-speaking country in the Eurozone. You know, mm-hmm. So they have other considerations rather than just taxation.
Yeah. And of course, the small and medium enterprises, you mentioned that a lot of people forget that. We tend to think that the big employers are the big corporations. They don't get the kind of tax cuts that the large corporations get.
No, they don't, because usually they're just based here. They don't have subsidiaries in other countries that they can, you know, send their profits over there, or, you know, do changes with their loan books, lend money to a subsidiary and then repay it, or have it repaid from another subsidiary. They don't do that. So the reality is most of them pay between 10% and 12.5% in terms of corporation tax, give or take some research and development tax credits. So it's very unfair on those companies who employ about 76% of all the people working in Ireland, that they have one playing field, yet another set of organisations who are much larger but don't employ as a proportion that many people pay a very, very small amount of taxation, and they get a huge amount of benefits in terms of being attracted here by IDA or Enterprise Ireland, in terms of the premises they're offered, in terms of the infrastructure that's provided for them. But that's provided by every taxpayer, pays for the public transport infrastructure, you know, our energy, our broadband, as poor as it is, you know, that's all funded by the taxpayer. It's not funded by those companies. It's provided for them, and that's why they come here. So I think we need to also consider all those small businesses in our local communities who provide employment there and whose taxes stay in Ireland. You know, they should at least be on a level playing field with the larger corporations.
Mm-hmm. And do you think the government has the vision for that? I mean, why do you think they give such advantage to these larger corporations?
Because I think our sole focus, and Sean O'Rean actually touched on this in his paper, is that our enterprise focus in Ireland has always been on foreign direct investment. So we've ignored kind of supporting our own SMEs. And in terms of foreign direct investment, we've a very narrow focus on technology. You know, so we get some of the bigger companies, but the supports aren't there then for other small businesses to develop and grow. And he would argue that we need to completely widen our focus, move away from just focusing on FDI, because there's a cost to every one of those jobs, you know, because we either give tax credits or some sort of concessions to those companies for locating here. Yet there's not a cost to us when an SME creates a job and employs someone in their community. And you also have to look at sustainability. It's not just about urban Ireland. You know, the Western Seaboard in the Southwest, full-time employment there is still falling, which is really, really worrying, even though employment is rising, because they're in the regions, they're in rural areas. There is very poor broadband infrastructure. The large multinationals aren't going to locate there. So we need to support businesses there, because the businesses that local people set up, they remain there and the jobs remain there.
Yeah. Sean Healy also made the point, or in the Social Justice Ireland also made the point, that, you know, the government is now talking about how they're, you know, we're growing again as a country and the downturn is over and all of that. But he made the point that a downturn would have ended anyway, so it's hard for them to necessarily take all the credit for it.
Exactly. He was quoting Joseph Stiglitz there, and he's right. Yeah, Joseph Stiglitz says that every downturn comes to an end. So the point about your recovery is not that you're having one. It's is the recovery reaching everyone, and how bad is the damage that has already been done? So no, we shouldn't be. Yes, Ireland is in recovery. Part of Ireland is in recovery. But look at all the people who've had to emigrate. You know, they're not yet part of our recovery. The people on social housing waiting lists, those who depend on frontline public services, the low-income workers, the recovery hasn't reached those people yet. So I don't think we can celebrate any kind of recovery or take any credit for it until we ensure that it reaches all of those people. And the point Sean Healy was making, and Sean O'Rean was also making, is that recovery didn't reach these people even in the good times. So unless we really look at our policy planning and our long-term planning now, it won't reach them again. And we avoided a lot of very difficult questions in the early 2000s. We avoided dealing with them because we didn't want to. It would have been difficult. It may not have been very popular. So, you know, our bubble sort of masked the fact that most of those people weren't touched by that recovery. They've been impacted even more heavily by the crash and the recession, and we're in danger of leaving them behind completely if we don't do some long-term planning.
And a lot of the growth that people talk about tends to be increase in house prices, which isn't
exactly,
you know, which is a growth for some people, but it's certainly not a growth for most people.
And it also shows how we haven't learned. I don't mean that people haven't learned, but our economic policy hasn't learned, because there is money available at the moment, there's finance available, but it's all going, as you said, going back into property. There isn't investment in the real economy or in domestic business. So that's a real problem. It shows a real lack of vision, because we shouldn't be going back to invest in property. And that's not where the money should be going. The money should be going to invest in businesses and invest in the real economy to create real growth, you know, not just inflated prices for property.